Hi, this is Rini Primeza, the Jersey Dog Trainer, telling you to stay tuned to WNJC 1360 AM for Thursday in the Doghouse, coming right up.
Mama was a mutt, Daddy was one too. Me, I'm a little bit of everything, everything that I use. One day I'm walking.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Thursday in the Doghouse, a live radio show devoted to our favorite companion pet, the dog. We're all in the Doghouse every Thursday morning from 10 to 10:30, right here on WNJC 1360 AM. I'm your host, Rini Primeza, the Jersey Dog Trainer.
And I'm your host, Karen Fazio, the Dog Super Nanny.
You know, the Humane Society claims that approximately 78.2 million dogs are owned here in the United States. That's a lot of dogs. Karen and I think it's very important for all dog owners to have a clear understanding of these animals, which is why we host this very educational radio program. If you make a habit of listening to us on a regular basis, you're going to learn about canine body language, you'll find out how to properly house train your puppies, and you'll learn about how many of the serious behavior problems that dogs can suffer from, like fearfulness, aggression, and separation anxiety, just to mention a few. You'll also hear Karen and I talk a lot about how to keep kids and dogs safe when they're around each other. Most weeks, we interview experts in this field. We talk to authors and veterinarians and other professional trainers located all around the United States and even abroad. Karen, I kind of think that I would like to discuss today how to get dogs to relax. How many dogs do you meet in your practice that the people complain that the dog is hyper and he's out of control and they can't get him to calm down?
A lot.
A lot. Exactly.
A lot.
Right. And I think part of the reason is because if you look at the animal, the dog itself, and you think about an animal's natural environment, they're out in the world, they're busy, they're running around, they're doing things. And so maybe today we can talk about what causes this out of control, hyperactive, crazy, I can't calm down behavior today. How do you feel about that?
I like that.
Okay. So, Karen, I think that I would like to let everybody know what services you offer in the Keyport, New Jersey area and its surrounding cities and towns as a professional dog trainer and behavior consultant.
Are you the owner of a fearful or aggressive dog and don't know where to turn? Have you called other trainers and they've turned you down because they don't want to deal with an aggression case? Then My Best Friend Dog Training and its special service, the Dog Super Nanny, is maybe just what you're looking for. We do in-home private consultations. We're located in Keyport, New Jersey, and we do travel. Our phone number is 732-533-9376, and our website is mybestfrienddogschool.com. We are positive-based trainers and don't use physical punishment or fear as a way to motivate your dog. We use games and fun as a way to do that, and we also help you during the whole process. So give us a call. We're here for you. 732-533-9376.
Thursday in the Doghouse. This morning we're going to be talking about how to get your dogs to calm down. Now, I have to say, as a professional trainer, I have never had anybody call me and say, I need a trainer. I can't get my dog to not relax.
That's my dog. I have the most
running around all day long, and I really want him to get more energy. Never get a call like
That's funny, Karen.
Okay.
Well, I'll tell you what, Karen. If anybody does have a dog out there that they have a hard time getting to move and play and go for walks, please give us a call.
Yeah, please. It'll be a first.
Right, right, right. Pat, what's our number? Is it the 856? Wait a minute. 232. What's our number? 232-7077. If you want to give us a call about your lazy dog, we want to hear about that dog.
Yeah, if you need a professional trainer to get your dog to do something, let us know.
We got plenty of ideas.
I'm sure the phones will not be ringing this morning. Well, I would like to start by explaining a little bit about how the dog's body is made up.
Okay.
You know, I don't. You know, anybody who has a dog and watches them sleep, when they're in a very deep sleep, you know, they may notice this, that the muscles twitching and the dog doing this, like it seems like it's running in its sleep. And the reason why dogs do that is, one, they're predators, and they also, they don't go through a REM cycle like we do. When we go through a REM cycle, our eyes twitter. Our eyes move back and forth, and dogs don't necessarily do that. That energy goes through the muscular system, and it's so that they could be alert. You ever notice, you know, you all you have to do is snap your fingers and the dog's awake.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that also plays into excitability, and how a dog, you know, can't calm down. It's jumping around. It's running all over the place. And what happens when a dog is under stress or it's excited or happy, you know, we could be excited and happy and sit in one place. A dog can't do that. It's physically impossible. It's medically impossible. When a dog gets excited, the brain gets rid of the energy, and that energy is released through the muscular system. So, you know, when I have to say, you know, when I'm training puppies, before I teach them a solid stay, I teach them wait.
Mm-hmm.
And wait, you know, is, you know, you have to wait in this area. It could be, you know, a 5-foot by 5-foot area. You know, they can move around, they could spin, they can, you know, get excited, and, you know, they could get that energy out, but they have to wait in that area. And that's a way that you can start building more experience in more solid stays and more relaxed behavior. But, you know, it's important to know that if you're dealing with a puppy or you're dealing with an adolescent, you're going to be dealing a lot with this movement. And the dog always has to move.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, it's impossible for a dog to stand still when it's excited unless it's really trained well.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's interesting what you're talking about. The REM portion of their sleep would be different than ours. You must be doing a lot of research, because I've never read anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. So now we're faced with a dog that is in his crate all day long. Certainly it's explainable, and we have to be expecting this activity level to increase once you come home and you start interacting with your dog. People just don't get it, and so sometimes I'll explain to my clients, how would you feel if you lived in my house and every day before I went to work, I locked you in a closet and you only had enough room to stand up and kind of just take a step or two to the right or to the left, but that was all. You had nothing to look at, nothing to hear. How would you feel 8 hours later if I came home and I let you out of that closet? What's your behavior going to be like? Well, I can tell you what my behavior is going to be like. I'm going to barge out of that closet like a racehorse comes out of the stall, and I'm probably going to be a little irritable, too, but that's just me. That's my temperament, you know. But still, I mean, it could affect another dog. Maybe it can affect a dog where the dog becomes irritable and angry, and people don't understand why the dog is growling or barking a lot. It's because he hasn't had any kind of physical or mental stimulation during the day.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not natural to any animal to be confined for such a long period of time.
Especially dogs, because they're very mobile. I mean, even if you see, like I during the day, I spent a lot of time in Newark, New Jersey, and we have a quite a large community of stray dogs.
Really?
Yeah. And, you know, these dogs are constantly on the move.
Right.
You know, they don't just stand around. I mean, the only time a dog really, you know, stands around and lays down is when it's going to sleep.
Right.
Or if it's, you know, waiting for a friend of his to, you know, to approach. But, you know, they just keep moving around.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it, like you said, it's very difficult when you're gone all day. I challenge anybody to sit Just give it an hour. Give it an hour and sit in complete silence and don't do anything. And tell me if you don't start tapping your foot or picking your nails or, you know,
crossing your legs,
your eyebrows, or doing something to keep yourself busy.
Right.
You know, and when our dogs start doing that, they start licking their paws or they start biting themselves. Whoop, we rush them off to the vet.
Mm-hmm. Right.
There's got to be something wrong. The dog has to have an allergy. And maybe it's just bored out of its mind.
Right, right. And and I would say 50% of the dogs that I train and work with every day develop behaviors like chewing on inappropriate items, being destructive of various things, or another thing that happens quite frequently is that the dog is in a quiet state all day, and then people say, well, somewhere around 7 or 8 o'clock, the dog goes nuts.
Right.
He starts running around the house. He starts stealing things, and maybe there's some chewing, or they put him out in the backyard because they don't want to deal with that energy level, and now the dog is digging holes. I mean, most of these behaviors are boredom-based behaviors. And so in your practice or in your business, what do you advise your clients to do to help these dogs get rid of that excess energy in appropriate ways?
What I do is, one, I teach dogs, I train dogs in a little bit different of a way. I don't necessarily do stand there and tell the dog to sit and teach him actually what the command is. But then what I do is I integrate it in the dog's life.
Mm-hmm.
So that the dog is being trained whenever you're home. It's a constant thing. For example, if I have like a young adolescent dog or any dog for that matter, and I'm trying to teach it how to calm down in certain instances, say like around doorways, or you know, you have a dog that likes to steal things out of the refrigerator, you know, it knocks you down when you're opening up the door, you know, I tell the dog, sit and just wait. I'll open the refrigerator, I'll take out something a little nice, as long as it's behaving.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'll give him something from the refrigerator.
Mm-hmm.
I may say, you know, wait and ask the dog to lay down or wait for the behavior to happen, which is very effective.
You're talking about capturing the behavior.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll wait for the dog to offer a down, and then I'll give it something special.
Mm-hmm.
You know, same thing at the doors. You know, I don't necessarily tell the dog to stay and wait and do all these things at doorways. I put my hand on the handle, and if the dog stands up, I take my hand off the handle.
That's cool. Mm-hmm.
I wait for him to offer a sit, and then I'll reach for the handle again. If he stays seated, I'll crack the door a little bit. If he gets up, I close the door, and I remove my hand from the handle.
Mm-hmm.
So the dog learns by consequence that when it gets up, the door closes. When it's in a relaxed position or when it's sitting, the door opens.
Mm-hmm.
And I find this a very effective way, especially for people who don't have a lot of time, or they get a little confused with the commands and when to offer it and when not to. So I basically just wait for the dog to offer me a behavior that I like, and then I reward it.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is, as a consequence or as a result, is the dog starts to learn to live in your environment in a calm, relaxed way.
Mm-hmm.
Because what happens is the dog learns that if it's excited, it doesn't get rewarded in any way.
Right.
When it's relaxed, it gets rewarded.
Right. Can I interject something, Karen?
Uh-huh.
I mean, how many, I know many, many dog owners who their dog gets crazy and then they get crazy. They don't realize that they're adding fuel to the fire. So if you have an energetic dog or a dog who's being energetic at that time and he's jumping on you, what do we normally do? We talk to the dog. We say no, no jumping. Or then we take our hands and we push the dog off of us and we say get down or get off. Well, your dog is just reacting to now your excited demeanor, and now you don't understand why it's getting worse, because
right.
You're actually reinforcing that hyper crazy behavior. Your dog is trying to get your attention, and you're giving your dog attention of the worst kind, and so not over such a great period of time now, your dog is getting worse and worse with those exact behaviors that you can't stand, because you're inadvertently reinforcing it. We need to take a break, Karen, so I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to let people know what services I offer here in the South Jersey area as a professional dog trainer and certified behavior consultant. We'll be back in just a moment. Is your dog always in the doghouse? Does he greet people by jumping all over them? Does she chew your shoes and steal your undies? Guess what? Your dog needs training. Hi, I'm Rini Premeza, the Jersey Dog Trainer, and I train dogs using only positive-based methods. My services include private training right in your own home. I also offer group puppy kindergarten classes starting at 8 weeks of age and group classes for adolescent and adult dogs beginning at 5 months of age. All group classes are held at Dog Days Camp for Canines, 23 West Main Street, Marlton, New Jersey. For more information, please contact me at 609-280-9338 or on the web at www.jerseydogtrainer.com. Again, that's 609-280-9338 or on the web at www.jerseydogtrainer.com.
Welcome back to Thursday in the Doghouse. This morning, Rini Premeza, my co-host, and I are talking about how to get your dogs to calm down. You know, before we went to break, Rini was talking about how your own energy level can cause a dog to become even more excited. So, you know, and inadvertently, we're reinforcing the dog for bad behavior. So, you know, if Fido is jumping all over you and you say, down, down, off, get out of the way, and you're pushing him, I mean, this dog's having the time of his life. And he's also getting you to be involved. But your behavior and your excitement level could be much more subtle than that, and your dog could pick up on the slightest things. And I'd like to do a little experiment if our audience is ready to do it. All you have to do is go near your dog and pant. Go like that, and watch how quick your dog gets up and starts running around the house. Comes running towards you. I mean, the slight change in your respiration, when you get excited, you start to breathe quicker. Believe me, your dog is going to pick up on that.
Absolutely.
And that can make, I'm telling you, it's great. I do that a lot when I'm teaching a puppy a recall. Mm-hmm. I'll go, come on, you know, and that gets them so excited they got to go check it out, because what you're doing is you're mimicking the sound of an excited dog.
Right. Guess what? I think that if I go home and I start panting in front of my dog, I'm going to start hyperventilating and then I'm going to pass out.
Well, don't do it too many times. All you have to do is an inhale and exhale about four times, and that should be enough to get your dog to get excited.
I have to let you know if my dog responds, because he is really a lazy dog. He is somebody that I do try to get excited.
Because he sleeps 23 out of 24 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
But that's great. So that's a great test, Karen, and that's a good way to communicate with your dog that, hey, it's now time to get excited, and I'll let you get excited as long as
mm-hmm.
you don't jump on me or bite me or do anything inappropriate. We can play.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that I do, especially after I graduate a group of puppies, and I remember having a trainer do this to me when I took one of my dogs for training. At the end of my graduation little exam, I'll ask people, I want to see how you get your dog's tail to wag by saying the name of a fruit. So they, you know, I mean,
that's cool.
It is cool. So you have to say the name of a fruit and somehow get your dog excited about hearing that word. So some people do a good job and some people have no imagination whatsoever. So
apple.
It is
apple.
Apple. There you go.
Now, but if you go, apple.
That's right. It's in the tone of the voice. It's
right.
In your body language, which they read all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to talk about a couple different ways of helping clients calm their dogs down, but and I can just breeze over these exercises quickly, because you really need somebody there to demonstrate these exercises to you if you're going to, you know, really help your dog out. But one of them is called a relaxation protocol. And this was created by a board-certified veterinary behaviorist from the University of Pennsylvania. Her name is Dr. Karen Overall. And she's a wonderful resource to people like myself. She offers seminars, and she's an educator. And she also is wonderful when you take your dog to pen with a behavior problem. So she's developed these relaxation protocols, which, if you've ever done obedience training and your trainer has taught you how to teach a stay exercise, it's something similar to a stay exercise, except that you're not giving your dog any command at all other than to sit or lie down. Now, the exercises are placed into segments, and she calls them daily tasks. So she has day one task, and as if you look at what she's asking you to do, it's very calm and quiet with very, very little distraction. So we want your dog to lie down or sit for the entire time that it would take him. Let's say, for example, you're asking your dog to sit, and the instructions are for you to count in your head to 5 seconds, and then you offer your dog a treat. And so you don't talk to your dog a whole lot, but you can smile at your dog. And maybe the next segment is to ask your dog to sit for a count of 10 seconds, counting all the while in your head, smiling at your dog, and having your dog give you eye contact. And as you go down that day one task, she asks you to clap your hands quietly once. And after you tell your dog to sit, and then you give your dog a treat for maintaining that sit. And I think the most distracting cue that you would do during day one might be to jog in place for a count of five while your dog sits and looks up at you, and then the dog gets a treat. So it takes a lot of patience to do that sort of behavior modification, and that's exactly what it is. And quite honestly, you know, I use it sometimes, but, and I tell people, if you truly want to teach your dog to relax, because other methods just aren't working, and we certainly don't want to drug all the dogs that we work with just because they get a little excited, it takes patience on your part, because there are actually 15 days worth of tasks. And as you get to that 15-day task, you're ringing the doorbell, or you're running around the dog, you know, and you're clapping your hands or doing jumping jacks while your dog just calmly sits there and looks up at you. So it is a good method to use, and I have had some success with it. But I have to tell you, there were two dogs that I worked with who really had a problem with poor behavior. One was an aggressive border collie mix who was just about the best dog, one of the best dogs I've ever met. She just blossomed after going through behavior modification, and the owners were just so committed, and they did all 15 days worth of tasks. I had them start in one room of their house. They finished the 15 days successfully in that room, and then they began doing the same exercises, going back to the first day's task in another room. So this dog, you know what happened? She was aggressive to children. That is so dangerous. The people could have been sued. She could have been euthanized. That dog actually passed her canine good citizen test, and she now is a wonderful dog, and she is, I'm just so proud of her, and I was proud of the parents because they did such a wonderful job with her. So,
but you know that you're saying a very important key thing.
What's that?
The parents really worked hard with the dog.
They were very committed.
And you know, you have to be very committed.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I'm having an issue right now with a client that, has a very, very busy lifestyle, and I've laid out everything for them,
mm-hmm.
but they just don't work with the dog.
Right. That's impossible.
You know?
You're not
going to
get any kind of progress with the dog. Just like with a child. If your child is having a problem and you ignore the problem, what do you think is going to happen to it? It's just not going to go away.
It's difficult. And, you know, you got to realize, you know, when you have a dog, I mean, if you really want a really good trained dog, you're thinking about investing probably about a year.
Oh, absolutely, or more.
Of training the dog.
Right.
I mean, that is nothing compared to raising a child, or even starting a new career.
Well, it's easier than raising a child because a child goes to school for 12 years minimally,
yeah.
and you're helping your child through that first 12 years with its homework. Hopefully, you're helping it, that child, and you're educating your child how to behave appropriately in your home and with other people, and you're teaching that child to be polite. Heck, it's the same type of commitment with a dog, except that, and we have to always say, children are top priority in any family, and the dog always comes second.
Right.
But you know, I mean, so you have to make a decision. Am I committed to the dog that is currently living in my house if he has a behavior problem? Because if you're not, that problem is just not going to go away.
Right.
You know.
Oh, sure.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, there's other methods, too, to help a dog calm down, and one of them is canine massage, you know, where I'm sure that some of our listeners and some of our clients have had the wonderful pleasure of having a massage, and you come out of having that experience, and you do feel so calm, and you feel like all's right with the world because it has a definite effect on your nervous system, and your psyche.
You know what else I do when it's similar to massage, but it's petting.
Right.
And how I pet a dog is I follow the pattern of its hair.
That's massage.
So if the hair goes in a swirl,
mm-hmm.
my fingers go in a swirl around the hair.
Right.
If the hair waves along the back,
mm-hmm.
my fingers follow. It's like following a river.
Right.
And you're going to follow all the little tributaries, and, mm-hmm. and you're just going to then go gently. It's,
mm-hmm.
it's you could just drag your fingers very gently over the fur,
mm-hmm.
and follow the direction in which the fur grows. And it could, you know, it could branch off to the right, or it could go to the left.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just follow that pattern. And I'll tell you, dogs love that.
That's called effleurage. That is the beginning of canine massage, and probably human massage also. It's a gentle stroke in the direction of the hair growth.
Oh, and I was doing something I didn't even know what
that's right.
To.
And I'll tell you something else. The direction of the hair growth tells you what direction those muscle fibers are growing. So that's why you most massage therapists tell you you don't want to go in the opposite direction of the hair growth. You want to go in the same direction that the muscles are in the dog's body.
Mm-hmm.
So,
oh,
you know,
that's cool.
Isn't that nice?
I didn't know that.
You have a sixth sense about you. I've done that too. I've done some things, and then somebody comes out with a method of doing something, and I think, gee, I've been doing that all along. So I should have written a book. So. Hey, who do we have?
Fabio massage.
Who do we have coming up next week? Don't we have an interview?
I believe so. We have who's coming up next week? Oh.
I don't know. I think it's somebody that you got. I forget.
It is.
I never remember who we're having each week. But I know it's somebody important, and I know that it'll be a good interview.
It is somebody important, although I'm sorry that I can't remember.
I know. I can't. We were supposed to have an interview today. I have to tell our clients what we go through. I mean, this is definitely live radio. Last week, we were supposed to interview somebody who has written a book, and we were going to talk about the book, and his subject was our mutts. Smarter than purebred dogs, and he stood us up. So last week we kind of funked it through, and we did a program off the cuff like we're doing today. And so I said to the person, okay, we forgive you, you can come back again this week and we'll try it again. And guess what? This guy never showed up. So we're not going to learn about the book that he wrote, and we're not going to talk to him. But you know what, I'm glad, because we had a great topic today.
We had a great topic,
and I hope everybody enjoyed our program, and I hope you all tune in again next week to Thursday in the Doghouse from 10 to 10:30 right here on WNJC 1360 AM. And I hope you, Karen, have a great week, and I hope all of our listeners go out and they walk their dogs and go home and teach them how to relax. Talk to you later.
Have a great weekend, everyone.
You too. Bye-bye.
I'm glad you're home, but where you been? Since 2 o'clock, I've been holding it in. Grab the leash, let's go chop chop. If I don't get out soon, the court's gonna pop. Twist and shout, ooh, I gotta go out. Now I'd love to stay and talk, of course. I really need to see a man about a horse. Grab the leash, let's hit the road. I gotta get out, life is love. Twist and shout, I gotta go out. Gotta go out.